Now, despite Irene's relatively tame landfall here in Massachusetts, meteorologist Mark Rosenthal told WBUR this morning that the storm may have been the prelude to a dangerous late hurricane season for the Northeast.
We're in a high-risk pattern. Even though last year we had many named storms, very few hit the East Coast, but this is a different pattern. We're in a La Nina pattern right now, which is a breeding ground for tropical activity.
So considering the rarity of serious hurricanes or tropical storms in our part of the country, I guess it's hard not to wonder, could climate change be partly to blame?
Well, a leading scholar on weather and climate change, MIT professor Carrie Emanuel, says that hurricanes have indeed grown more frequent and more destructive over the past three decades, and that is due to global warming. But what that means for the Northeast is unclear.
We have been measuring Atlantic hurricanes fairly carefully since about 1970, which isn't very long, and since about the early 1990s, we've seen across the Atlantic basin an upward trend both in the number of storms and in their intensity.
What about storms specifically impacting the eastern seaboard, the northeast megalopolis?
Well, we haven't actually seen much of a tendency there. Anywhere along the U.S. eastern seaboard, we don't really see a strong or definite tendency in hurricanes or hurricane-induced damage, except that that's caused by increased coastal population. And one of the reasons we think that's true is that the storms have been tending to form a bit further east in the Atlantic, and the further east they develop, all of the things being equal, the less likely they are to influence the East Coast.
Okay, well, that's good news for us. I imagine all of your friends and colleagues have been asking you all day, was Irene part of this broader trend that you're seeing towards more powerful, larger Atlantic storms? And I think that our listeners can probably already imagine the answer that you're going to give to that question, which is going to be a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B answer. So the question I want to ask you is, does it matter?
Well, it does matter. I mean, again, it's impossible to attribute any particular event in a chaotic system like our weather to any particular cause, whether it's global warming or El Nino or anything else. There is one thing that Irene illustrates, and again, I'm not saying that Irene had much to do with global warming, but there are two things that happen with global warming that are generally not really talked about very much. The atmosphere as a whole, because it's warmer, has more water vapor in it. So a given hurricane will, generally speaking, ingest more water vapor and therefore produce more rain. So there's widespread agreement in my field that hurricanes of the future will rain more for a given strength. The other thing that can happen, and Irene was, again, a good illustration of this, was that the general circulation of the atmosphere in the summertime can be a bit weaker, or might be a bit weaker, which means that the storms don't move as fast. And Irene was a pretty slow mover, and that combination of slow movement and heavy rain makes these storms generally more potent flood producers. And that's one of the things we're really worried about in going into the future.
Can we say reliably that the factors that you're describing here can be traced to human-induced climate change?
Well, the factors of increased water vapor in the atmosphere and maybe a more sluggish summertime circulation can probably be attributed to climate change. I don't, again, want to say that Irene was a product of that. It's a little bit like saying, well, you know, my grandmother smoked all her life and she died of lung cancer. It was this particular cigarette that killed her. Nobody would make that mistake, and you don't want to make that with hurricanes either.
I have heard that some scientists suggest global warming could have the opposite effect on hurricanes that you're describing, in the sense that rising temperatures could cause greater wind shear, which could disrupt the power of these storms.
The effect you're mentioning, wind shear, is something that does indeed limit the intensity of a lot of hurricanes in the current climate. And models do forecast that to change, although some models predict it to increase. But the changes I've seen in models are not very large, and so I don't expect that to be a big factor. But another thing that is a factor is the tracks that storms take, and different models, unfortunately, give different solutions to this. So like everything else having to do with climate change, especially when you look at a regional level like the Atlantic Basin, or particularly a local level like the Northeast, the models are all over the place, and the models I look at, the majority seem to predict an increased risk in New England, but there are some that actually predict a decreased risk. So we're not very far along in the science to the point where we can speak with much confidence about the future.
The factors that would result in an increased risk for New England would be temperatures creating different types of air currents that would steer the hurricanes one way or the other. You've got to have your own opinion on as to which of these scenarios you think is most likely.
Actually, I don't. I mean, I've looked at a lot of those scenarios, and, you know, we can't solve the equations in our heads. We have to rely on computers for that. And there are a lot of approximations, there are lots of uncertainties. It's in so many spheres, including just weather forecasts, like forecasting where will Irene go, it is at heart a probabilistic enterprise. And this is something that we haven't been very successful in communicating to people, is that at the heart of it, the best we can do is to give an envelope of probabilistic outcome. And if you expect better from us, you're expecting too much from us. And what I've been trying to do in my career and a lot of my colleagues is to paint that probabilistic envelope of possible future outcomes. And it's a broad envelope, and you just have to live with that.
Professor Emanuel, you know we don't like nuance in the media.
No, I know.
Yeah. Cary Emanuel is a professor of atmospheric science at MIT. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
Well, you know, we always want your thoughts on anything you hear on the show, including meteorological probabilistic envelopes. Did I say that right, Adam?
Pretty good.
All right. You can always contact us at radioboston.org. Tomorrow on the show, investigating the Kristen Worthington murder in 2002, police created something of a DNA dragnet. They still have all those samples on file, but should they? DNA, law enforcement, and the right to privacy. That's tomorrow on Radio Boston.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from theangleatboston.com. I'm Adam Ragusea.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.